Another common affliction was a headache. Headache applied in heaven, removed in the netherworld, which sapped the strength of the strong young man, which has not returned her energy to the beautiful young woman. Who will remove it? Who will cast it out? These spells also report some of the incantations that the Ashipu, you remember that is the magician or the priest who would come to consult anyone who was sick. These are some of the incantations that he might say over an ill person. I have lit a fire. I have set up a brazier. I have burned the absolving minerals. Just as I damped the brazier I lit, just as I put out the fire I kindled, may the disease, the curse, be released and absolution be brought about. Other spells would drive away generic evil. Some even got rid of ghosts that were rattling around the houses. One spell was designed to prevent an opponent in a lawsuit from speaking. My adversary, until I slap his cheek, until I rip out his tongue, until I send his words back into his mouth, I will not allow his mouth to speak. And you can imagine someone muttering this on the way into the law court or the assembly, wherever the case was being adjudicated, and trying to get the upper hand on his opponent. In this lecture, we've seen many different types of literature are preserved. Most of the literature that survives concerns myths and stories of the gods, and this, next to royal literature, forms the bulk of stories that survive from Mesopotamia. In them, there are many descriptions of the landscape, and this reminds us of what an extraordinary natural setting it was. Even though the environment was abundant, however, other stories and poems relate extreme poverty and misery, either from illness, sometimes from unrequited love, most often on the side of the female rather than the male. The gods were more often a source of pain than relief, but there was still great interest in how they lived and what sort of society they created. Spells attempted to ward off evils, and humor could temporarily ease the situation. Some of this literature also gives us an idea of the philosophy of that was present in Mesopotamia. And sometimes Mesopotamian cultures can seem very pessimistic. If you get ill, you're going to die. If the moon rises in a certain quarter, your kingdom will be destroyed. There's a lot of negative outcomes that are recorded in texts that are most commonly presented in surveys. And I think if we consider the other types of literature, we get a much richer sense of what the philosophy was like. That, sure, that there were pessimistic moments and there was a lot of pain and suffering, but there was also humor to be found in situations, there was beauty in nature, and there was also love that would bind a family together. In our next lecture, we're going to focus on literature of a different sort, and we're going to jump ahead about 400 years from the reign of Hammurabi. The intervening period was somewhat of a dark age. We'll explore that in more detail. But the letters that survive from the 14th century focus on the correspondence of rulers, and we will see that the rulers of Babylonia have close diplomatic contacts with the kings of Egypt and other kings in the Near East that help them negotiate their standing with each other.